Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women and Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners, and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women and Money on Apple Podcasts, podcastone.com, and the new Podcast One app.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a trip. We're going to run everybody on.
Mandate.
Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do when I'm trying to do this podcast from Tennessee? Be like, get a studio or an ISDN line or something.
Sure, wants to move.
I'm discontent. And you pushed my buttons a couple yesterday. What were we talking about?
Private buses, public sector.
The private bus. I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm done. I can't stand it here.
I'm having many of the same thoughts, yeah. Although I'm not sure if it's me just getting old and or us going nuts or what's going on. But I feel like you and I have a great allegiance to common sense.
Yes.
And I am very bothered when common sense isn't a protocol that's followed.
Well, I'm bothered by that, but I'm also bothered when common sense starts to head towards real breakdown and allows for real human suffering. Mm-hmm. I look at the homeless people as a symptom of this breakdown, mm-hmm. and they are suffering. And they're on every street corner, on every sidewalk, wherever you go. I look at the broken down streets, breakdown. I just see breakdown wherever I go.
Yes.
I see your freeway side there, just breaking down.
Side of the freeway.
And so it's, yes, to me, it's common sense would, if we're to prevail, would say, hey, we got to change direction here. That'd be common sense, right? Let's do something.
Right.
This is not okay. We're not okay. Don't kid ourselves. We're not okay.
Right.
And instead what we get is, hey, shut up. Slow down. School to prison pipeline. Shut up, old man.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of talk about dreamers and immigration and stuff, but no, not so much about. See, I have this. I have this thing that it's sort of like whatever we're talking about can be traced back to an airplane. So, like, at some point, you know, there's like patient zero,
yeah,
who was like, hey, this guy was a flight attendant for Pan Am and he brought AIDS over here, or whatever the lore is. Right. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's patient zero. There's patient zero of the first guy to wear flip-flops on an airplane.
Right.
And then you go, at some point, somebody was in his view and their purview, and he was in, their view, and someone went, the guy's wearing flip-flops on a commercial flight.
Yeah.
It looks comfortable.
Yeah.
Next time I fly, I'm not going to – what do I want these uncomfortable wingtips?
Right.
And then – so now you got somebody
– breakdown.
And they've flown. The next guy said, you know, I'm going to wear flip-flops. Mm-hmm. And then somebody saw that guy flying in flip-flops, and he said, I guess you can fly in flip-flops. There doesn't seem to be a problem. I mean, these guys aren't being judged or arrested or anything. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You know what feels better than flip-flops? No flip-flops.
Bathing suit.
No, just how about I kick my shoes off, put my feet up, my bare feet up on the bulkhead?
Yeah, yeah.
That's more comfortable. That's
sure,
more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the next guy went, Jesus Christ, what's on that guy's lap? That's his dog. Jesus Christ, you know who loves flying with his dog?
Me.
Me. You know, only thing I love more than flying barefoot is with my dog. And someone, well, that guy's doing it. Why can't
when
I?
When did they decide?
All right,
that,
so
that,
here's what I'm saying.
When did cargo shorts and no deodorant become the standard?
Here's what I'm saying. In my neighborhood, if your lawn got out of control, there'd be some judging going on. Like, you are sort of kept.
Adam, that neighbor across the street from you, she'd be camped out on your front porch.
There'd be multiple notes.
Notes? She'd be there like, excuse me, who's going to do this lawn?
Yeah. There would be judging going on.
Tell them what you did just when somebody parked.
Well, that was Maxipad, but multiple notes.
Oh, it's good. It's a racist thing, is that what you're saying?
No, because she didn't know what his ethnicity was, but multiple notes with an ambush, literally ambush. She am in a bush. She sprung from a hedge. Thank you. That's why I get the big bucks. She literally sprung from a hedge to bust Chris at 10:30 at night.
Nice.
Like, it's insane. But the point is in my neighborhood, if you let your lawn go to seed, pardon the pun, you will be judged.
Let's examine this a little bit.
Or if you don't pick up your dog poo.
Yeah, but there's a flip side to this. Because when you and I were growing up, that kind of Mrs. Kravitz, how's that for a timely reference?
Nosy neighbor.
The sort of nosy neighbor stuff was something we were actively rebelling against, if you remember.
Right. Yeah.
So the 60s and 70s were all about, hey, man, that's not cool. It's casual. We hang out. We do whatever. Don't judge. Don't be in other people's business. Mm-hmm. Let them grow their lawn if they want to. Who do you think you are? A lot of real heavy pushback on the what then was the version of social justice warrior, mm-hmm. which was keeping everybody in line.
Right.
So in a way, it's our generation that's responsible for this.
Well, speaking as a guy who lives in L.A., I've realized that when the city – first off, again, it's like if the city is going to say, hey, play the lottery if you want to play the lottery, or you can gamble, but it's just on horse racing, but not dog racing.
Right.
No. That's wrong, but horse racing. And you can go in and play Pigao poker in Gardena, but understand you can't play the house. You have to play the people who you're at the table with because it'd be wrong. And when you're a stripper, if you want to tip her $5, you can't hand it to her, but you can just set it on the edge of the stage and then she can pick it up with her pussy lip. You have to understand at a certain point we go, look, this – I want to play in a fairy tale football league. You're not going to convince me that's wrong. I'm seeing commercials for Gardena's poker society and lottery commercials. I mean, you're going to convince me something. So if you're going to let your freeways go up with beanstalks of weeds and have toilets strewn about and stuff like that, you can't really talk. Well, and you're giving me a lecture about hosing down my driveway, but your sprinklers are going off while it's raining outside by the side of the freeway.
Right.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Right. So is that just a function of the state of California that we've lost all faith in government, or is government really ineffectual?
I think it's both.
So
especially bad.
So I feel like there's never been more of a time for need for some government intervention. I do a radio show with Leo Terrell, who's a civil rights attorney. He's accusing me of going liberal from libertarian because I keep looking for ways to solve some of these problems because they're troubling me. And I don't know who else is going to solve them, the government. They certainly aren't doing it. Like Cardi B says, what do you do with my taxes? My new favorite. She's my new favorite person.
She's my new favorite too.
Please, Gary, if you could find
– I've saw it earlier
Cardi
today.
Cardi B – What are you doing with my taxes? It's a YouTube video. She is my new favorite human.
Yes,
that's my question. What are you doing? She goes, I want receipts. She wants receipts for what they're doing.
I like that.
Here she is. Can we play it? Here she is.
I love her.
Yeah,
I love her.
So
too.
Good.
I don't love her as an artist, but I love her.
I will love her as an artist just because she's so good as an American. Okay, here it goes.
All right, so you know the government is taking 40% of my taxes. And Uncle Sam, I want to know what you're doing with my fucking tax money. Because you know what I'm saying? Like, when you donate to a kid from a foreign country, they give you updates of what they're doing with the nation. I want to know what you're doing with my fucking tax money, because I'm from New York and the streets is always dirty. We was voted the dirtiest city in America. What is y'all doing? There's still rats on the damn trains. I know y'all not spending it in no damn prison, because y'all be giving niggas like two underwears, one jumpsuit for like 5 months. So what is y'all niggas doing with my fucking money? What is y'all doing with my fucking money? I want to know. I want receipts. I want everything. I want to know what y'all niggas doing with my fucking money. What is y'all niggas doing with my fucking money? Uncle Sam, I want to know what the fuck you doing with my motherfucking money.
That's her best song.
It makes me so happy.
I agree.
That's like you back in the day when you first started making money, asking for a squad car to your own trashman.
I do.
Remember that?
Yeah, I want a perk for paying way more than my fair share.
Oh,
or I'd like everyone who accuses me of not paying my fair share to be thrown into a fucking volcano. That's my...
Cardi B will help you send him there.
Yes.
She's my new favorite human. God, I love her.
You have to...
Oh.
I think it's helpful to make nothing and come from nothing to then just realize how much you're paying and how much you're being ripped off. Hey, Ethan, 22, Toronto...
Toronto.
Adam, Drew, how's it going?
Ethan, what's up?
What'd I say?
Toronto.
That's what I say.
So up there, how do you say it up there?
Toronto.
Toronto. They don't pronounce the T.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Toronto.
Yeah.
Bit. Really?
Yeah.
You know where I learned that? In the movie, what's the Ben Affleck movie? Argo, where they're supposed to be from Toronto. And he's like, don't say the T. They'll know me that you're not from Toronto.
I was there 3 days ago. Mm. Okay.
Really?
Drew's right not on.
Hey, yeah. Real quick, so I respect you guys so much. Thanks a lot for taking my call. But to the point, I'm 22 years old. I'll be 23 in 5 weeks or so. You know, I've got a great social life, tons of friends. You know, work out a lot. I've got all that in check. But my professional life is just awful, really.
What are you doing?
Geez, a little bit of everything, but I could kind of explain. I went to college for a year when I was 19 for marketing. Wasn't really into it. Left. Started doing kind of odd jobs. And now, Drew, I've heard you mention Ordinary Misery.
Yeah.
Before
you have
on the podcast. Well, you know, like you know, so that was more so when I was 19. You know, you start getting a little bit of that, and then that sort of turns into. A bit of a depression, I guess. And what that's sort of turned into now is like a scary anger.
That's part of the irritability is part of depression.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I here's my deepest instinct. Go back to school. Go back to school. Go back to school. Figure out what you want to do. Train. Be the best at it. Go get the work you want to do and then do it. For a young male, that is massively important. If you're drifting and you sound like you have lots of potential and you're unfulfilled, the piece that, you know, in order to make a difference, man, you got to develop a skill. And, you know, Adam was lucky enough to have developed several skills alongside of each other and then was, you know, the one skill comedy sort of took over. But you got to spend time developing the skill. It doesn't just happen to you. And now you can go into a business environment where you develop the skill in real time working in business. But those are hard to come by these days. So I know you're not much of with school, Adam, but do you disagree with sort of fundamentally?
Skill. I mean, I was lucky enough to develop a skill after, you know, several weeks of pulling ivy off the side of buildings and digging ditches. I just went, bleh, bleh, bleh. I better learn how to work that circular saw and a tape measure or something.
You were also training on comedy and boxing.
I was like, I got to get some skills so I can get out of the hole.
Yeah.
Just on the same construction site. Like I remember showing up, you know, my second week of construction with like, hey, I got my tool bags. I got my tool belt. And the guy's like, great. Take them off. Get in the hole.
Yeah.
But I remember like, hey, boss, like I got tools because I knew the hole. I had to get out of the hole.
I get it.
And the only way I was going to get out of the hole is with some skills.
Yep.
And then once you're the boss, telling a guy with skills to get in the hole is an insane use of your money.
Right.
You're losing money when you tell the skill guy to get in the hole.
Right, of course.
So, well, it's of course, but it's important for people to hear that.
Yeah.
That.
Well, yeah, if you have skills, whoever's paying the bills is going to use you in a way that your skills are optimized, hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey,
Yeah.
Before you guys let me go, can I just run sort of like one thing by you just to get some advice, sort of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like kind of one of the reasons that I left school is because, you know, like I do like I've got skill in you know, photography and music and all that, but like a tremendous amount, you know, like enough that I did feel confident at the time to leave school. And, you know, like I did get some pretty cool opportunities, but here's the question. I'm at a point now where I'm going to be 23 soon. And you know, should I give it up? You know, should I suck it up? And
are you trying to live the dream of an artist? Is that what you mean?
You know, not even so much, not even an artist, but just, you know, if I can make 60 grand a year, you know, if I can make 50 grand a year doing something in that general field, that would be cool. But you know, like right now, I'm doing shitty jobs. I'm working at metal fabrication places and warehouses.
It sounds like
I'm not that kind of guy.
But if you're struggling now, you're probably gonna be struggling 10 years from now too.
No, not necessarily. I'm gonna take a different tact here, which is, can you be the best sheet metal flue and duct man ever?
Fuck no.
Why not? Why can't you commit to that excellence while you work on your art at night?
No. I don't, Adam. What I will say is, you know, I do give everything. I do give everything 100%. I'm always generally pretty liked by all my bosses and everything like that. I don't fuck around. You know, I'm not an idiot. I know kind of guys my age get a pretty bad rap, and I can see why. You know, I see a lot of the fucking guys I went to high school with. I get it. But,
yeah,
I don't think I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, but he didn't say don't be a fuck up.
You weren't a fuck up. I said, can you be the best?
Yeah, be
at
the
that
best
job while you're doing it.
Well, okay, but you know, like here's the
answer
thing.
No.
Like,
the answer is no. If, not, if he can't even talk about it, you know,
there's this new thing. Hold on, Ethan. Oh, do your spot.
All right, Blinds Galore, everybody. This is a palate cleanser. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements down to every detail. These guys are the blind experts. We all use them. We all have them. We've had nothing but joyous experiences working with them. They are great. They have over 15 years of experience, 2 million windows covered, and they do everything. At blindsgalore.com, you can do it all right from your home, save a ton compared to the big box stores, and they give you the – the best part is they give you encouragement and consultation and free samples, and they get it down to the last detail. And they want to make sure that once you have those window dressings up, they are exactly what you want, and you're nothing less than totally satisfied. Anybody, we ever talked to anybody who's less than totally satisfied?
No.
Like delighted with them. We are delighted with ours. Corolla's delighted with his. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted, and that without the designer price tag. And it's easy and it's painless. You actually will enjoy it. Check out blindsgalore.com and let them know we sent you.
Yeah, there's this thing we're straddling, which was people that don't really need to do stuff, so they don't want to do stuff. I was telling you, I think I just had this conversation about my nephews where it's like, go get a job at In-N-Out Burger. It's like, I don't want to do that. Like, You have to be a little bit desperate. And then I was talking to someone being interviewed today from Cleveland, I think. It's about, yeah, when I was in high school, I was trying to get a job at Taco Bell, and they're not hiring, you know, like they just, there were no jobs. Yeah. It was a horrible economy. So Ethan, here's the problem. There's a kind of a dangerous thing, which is my nephews suffer from this a little bit, taking 19-year-olds and going, hey, man, do what you want
to
do.
Whatever you're
into. But by the way, don't waste your time making someone a burrito. Yeah. Is that who you are?
Find your muse, man.
Yeah, but are you a burrito guy?
Yeah.
You think you're put on this planet to make people work at Chipotle and make people burritos?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. And the answer has always been no. And there's nobody who works at Chipotle right now who said, yeah, I was meant to make burritos for strangers.
Yeah.
No, you were meant to learn how to work and to make a living. and to get a paycheck and to balance your checking account. These are all things you're meant to do. It's not, hey, man, I don't make burritos. It's hey, man, I work. And I don't get to be the captain of a cruise ship because I don't have any qualifications.
Right. And what you're saying is practice being good.
Yes.
Just practice that. Even when it's menial and seems non-inconsequential, it's almost a Buddhist sort of a principle, like be the best burrito maker. Be the best.
Be the best
dog walker if you're a dog walker. Just get used to being the best. And maybe something will come along that's of more meaning and that you know how to be the best.
You'll get a lot more satisfaction at your burrito making or job walking dog. It'll be a much better experience for you. And you'll get into this habit of just being excellent.
Right.
At that
habit of excellence.
Hey, Ethan.
Hey, yeah. Drew, can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
You know, like as far as kind of like depression medications go, I've been offered that by doctors before, but like my main kind of thing is that's not really like when I was 18, 17, you know, it was all good, right? But like now, kind of things have gone downhill, and like I've thought about taking stuff like that, but you know, like I don't feel like that's actually kind of who I am. I feel like this is sort of a phase.
Well, 18 to 22 is when psychiatric symptoms emerge. That's for all of us.
Okay.
And whether or not your situation is an endogenous of genuine depression or a situational depression, it sounds situational. You don't sound terribly depressed. Sounds like you need to get your shit together, right? Would you agree, Adam?
I do.
Take care of yourself properly. You know, and again, doing excellent and having pride in everything you do, you'd be surprised what that can do for you, right?
It is just, it's just so much better. It's such a better way to go through life. And everyone, it's so much better to go through life that way and everyone's avoiding it.
Yeah.
That's the scary part. How's your new public-private video working out for you, Max Spada?
Now with Corner.
All right. Corner. Let's see it.
Yeah. We'll put it up on Adam and Dr.
Oh, we don't get to see it? Show.com. This is a masterpiece. Driving by. It appears. Are you walking or driving?
Technically,
driving.
He's on a skateboard.
He's on a skateboard. Oh. I know him. That's his dolly shot. It is. We're looking at a magnificently landscaped area that just rolls into only be described as Mad Max Thunderdome mattresses and toilets and Christmas. I like the Christmas tree because it kind of puts a date stamp on it.
Yeah.
Broken up, but multiple toilets.
Sinks, pallets.
Yeah.
Construction material. Wait, he's going to give us a little more of a... And, of course, the landscape.
There should be a broken fan coming up here somewhere as well. It's all stuff that people tear out of people's houses and then throw on the side of the road. Okay. So awesome. We need more of this. Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've told you that I've brought up with multiple politicians about some voucher system where you give people vouchers to go to the junkyard for free and do sort of what's right for their stuff. The part that always kills me is the part where it's news to them.
Ugh.
Like they never have any idea. One guy,
because it doesn't do anything for their power. These people are interested in power only, and that's why I need to flee.
Drew
I need
Schling.
To get the hell out of the state because that is not government service. It's not.
Doug, 46 from Las Vegas.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just like listening to your show, and I was listening to the previous guy, and he kind of touched upon the subject on PsychNet, and I was just curious because like I was pondering this a lot. I'm actually not afraid to voice this actually. But I've microdosed psilocybin mushrooms, and I've actually found them to be like very effective on the long run. And I've never been on any psych meds or anything. I have tried Xanax occasionally at parties. That seems to be a very popular drug.
Okay, so hold on. So let's break down what you're saying. You haven't been on any psych meds except you've taken a dangerous psych med, which is Xanax, and you've taken it without clinical supervision, which is extra dangerous. So you clearly are
a little bit. No, I mean, like I would
Doug, stop.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So I don't care. It's a little bit or a lot. You took it under uncontrolled situations. It's not a safe medication. It's got lots of problems with it. And so, yeah, your thinking is off. Something's wrong with your thinking. Now, in terms of the microdose psilocybin, great. I'm doing actually a documentary on hallucinogens and their potential clinical use. The problem I'm running into is that, A, when hallucinogenics are used on microdoses and people feel better, it's usually PTSD. It's usually trauma that's being treated. So that means that you must have had some serious trauma growing up, number one, and or PTSD of some other source, which, by the way, if that's the case.
The impetus? You mean like that's what's driving you towards that?
Yeah,
that's
some sort of unregulated emotions from PTSD or trauma, yeah. And so, because that's when it works. It works for that population, number one. And number two, they are seeing long-term problems with that. So it's a field that needs to be kind of sorted out better. It's not yet really that well understood.
Drew?
Yeah.
Could you tell me, like, what are the long-term problems?
Personality
like,
changes, mood disturbances, memory problems, all kinds of stuff. And again, the poorly characterized needs much more study. And maybe it'll be a tiny population. Maybe it'll be a big population. We don't know. So we can't really recommend it yet, although my instinct is that it will have some utility one day once we figure out what it's doing. It will have some use.
Drew.
But you don't take any medications without clinical supervision. I don't take medication without somebody monitoring me, and I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You never do that. It's only dangerous when you treat yourself. That's only dangerous for any condition.
Well, I have a
Wait, hold on a second. Drew.
Yeah. Although I'm sympathetic, you can't get me to treat him with that stuff because he's, you know, no one does it. But go ahead.
I get you. All the stuff we've been talking about, we always talk about, like, that's just sort of counterintuitive. Like, hey, you have to eat, you know, 6-8 small meals all day, every day. You know, you have to drink. You have to keep drinking water. Yeah. But I'm full. I'm bloated. Yeah. I've had to drink more. Then when you think you've had enough, then have another pint of water.
Right.
And it's like, how about I drink when I'm thirsty? No. Yeah. No. Force it down. Force it down. Set an alarm at 4 a.m. so you get up in the middle of the night and drink whatever's in your toilet. And you start kind of like going like, huh. And from the end, from the beginning of time, I've been saying like classical music, long walks. You know, you've been saying relationships, you know, friends.
Yep. Oh, there's some good data on that now, like, that shows that people survive longer with
support. You got to have friends. I've been talking about gainful employment, not taking handouts from people. Like,
living a certain kind of life, meaning in life. Yes.
Right. Then, all right, that's a bunch of, well, Adam thinks if you do 10 push-ups every morning, you'll have a better life. But of course, or that's what Adam thinks. And then they start coming out with studies that these opioids don't really help anyone with with their back pain, their phantom back pain.
How long have we been saying that? How many years?
I've always known that
we've
it's
said,
just
but
like,
you and I have been on the radio 10,
yes,
15
and,
years
and also anyone has talked about they need back surgery. I've always been like, do you need back surgery? And by the way, super... The guys who need back surgery are the least athletic, least traumatized. You know, it's not like, well, after 11 years on the circuit, the professional rodeo circuit.
And by the way, I have chronic low back pain. And you know what has corrected my low back pain lately? And I'm not suggesting everybody do this, but this shows you how far from surgery you can go for chronic back pain and disc disease, which I have, 300-pound deadlifts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's counterintuitive, but it's working. Somebody convinced me it was going to work, and it's working.
All right. So – we've all sort of – everyone's known this. And then we've heard about every single kid needs braces and every single kid needs a helmet and everyone kid needs medication and everything. It's a spectrum disorder, so everyone's on it. Blah, 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 blah. Is there anything anymore that – and now, look, if you have leukemia, you need to get treated.
Of course,
but the pills, the meds,
the medicalizing,
the stuff, the medicalizing of of everything.
Yeah.
We was pull up a stump and let me get the cider jug out. Let's talk. Last week, I was talking to Jim Abrams of Abrams and Zucker and Zucker and Abrams and Airplane and Naked Gun and all the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
He was explaining to me that his son was severely epileptic and he was having seizures. Mm-hmm. And because he was a rich guy, he was able to take him – this is 30 years ago to the best, the Mayo Clinic, all over the country to meet with the best and the best. And there was all medications and the medication had side effects and there was a surgery. It didn't work and blah, blah, blah. And he found himself just sitting in the UCLA library – looking up the no sugar, no grain diet, ketogenic diet, right?
Wow.
And he started reading about these studies from the 30s where it was hugely impactful to these kids with epilepsy.
Uh-oh.
Hugely impactful. Wow. And he found the doctor who did the original research. He was still alive. And he went to the whatever Mayo Clinic or whatever it was. And he found the guy and he brought his, 20-month-year-old son and he put him on this diet, all the fats, all
stuff
the proteins, all what you're doing, none of the grains, none of the sugars and all that. Stopped having the seizures immediately, whatever. So this notion of like, take these pills, have this surgery, take these pills, have this surgery. Is it, again, if you have leukemia, you have leukemia. But does it ever really work? Like this sort of like the kid's sitting in class, the kid's tapping his foot and he wants to go outside and throw the Frisbee and he doesn't want to sit in here and learn about the Revolutionary War. Yeah, that's every boy I ever met. And some who didn't feel that way, I couldn't hang with and don't trust,
right.
By the way. What is that? I believe we're shaping a society, Drew, that is essentially pushing up against the face of men, as I've discussed, and young boys, asking them to act a way they're not really capable of acting or wired to act like, and then when they don't pull it off, we decide they need to talk to a therapist.
Yeah, some of that.
We're basically saying, hey, kid, yeah, what do you want to do? I want to get up and move around. I want to throw a football. I want to get this kid in a headlock.
Shut up.
And we go, sit down. And then while the kid's sitting there and his foot's tapping and he can't focus, now it's time to go get on some meds because we're asking you not to be a boy. I mean, you're 12. You should be bareback on a horse in the middle of a hunt with a goddamn spear in your hand, like rounding up a buffalo and throwing it in its back, not sitting here in this goddamn air-conditioned room with this middle-aged Hausfrau spouting off about something that you're not interested in at all. You should be going nuts.
I wonder,
how dare everyone.
I wonder, riddle me this.
Hmm.
It's not like, say, in the 19th century, when people would go to class in a cravat and sit and really have to lean into some Latin and some Greek and some – still boys.
Mm-hmm.
And – but they were so aggressive with them that they got them to comply.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like in being a little more loosey-goosey with the classroom environment, I wonder if we're doing a disservice to our aggressive needs to be – you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we'd have to learn aggressively in order to focus that.
Agreed.
Does that make sense?
It makes
it's
sense.
It's weird. Yeah.
Not to anyone listening.
No, yeah.
But to me.
LifeLock.
That makes sense to me. Tax season is here. ID thieves, they're out there. They're trying to file fake tax returns, steal your information, and thus steal your money. Everyone is vulnerable, especially the Southwest. Particularly bad. Nevada's the worst, so they say. Mm. Today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in and cash in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices. Ones you might not be able to see or even fix on your own. LifeLock's the best. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because you'll have LifeLock. But if you don't, that's on you. It's 2018. Let's get some identity theft protection. Let's get some LifeLock. How about it, Drew?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off.
All right. We'll do May 17th, Gore Theater, Cleveland, Ohio. And then that's stand-up. And then May 18th, Royal Oak Music Theater. That is outside of Detroit. Beautiful, man. Outside of this great state of Detroit. June 9th, Aladdin Theater, Portland. Two shows there for the live. We're taping a live comedy show. Who knew? And you go to AdamCarolla.com. Check it out. This Saturday, April 21st, Santa Ana Esports Arena. 7 p.m. Heather Dubrow is going to be up there. We're doing a live podcast, so check that out. Drew?
Check out This Life with Bob Forrest. Check out The Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood. Check out all the good YouTube and Facebook postings at Dr.com.
Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
This week on the Koi Pond.
Yeah, Buddhist monks were like out on the edge.
Out on
They the were living edge. So fast.
Dude, they were counting stars. Do you know how boring your life has to be?
1,000. 2,000. 3,000. When you breathe air, is it really there? I don't know. Life like a bull may cause fire in the heart. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Shit, let me start over. 1.
Wake up.
Oh, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and Podcast One.